This morning. Hallelujah. Amen. I was looking forward to just being in his presence with so many today. Amen. Hallelujah. To worship you. You know, the other Sunday when we spoke, the Lord just kind of had, you know, impressed him on my heart because most of the time I think, okay, I'll say most of the time me. I'll just say it like that. How about that? I think we sometimes have a concept that we come to church empty, and then we come and get filled up and blessed, and you know, let the Lord just pour into us and all of that kind of stuff. And isn't that wonderful when you come empty and the Lord is just able to pour into you? Amen. But you know what? I think that there comes a point in our Christian walk where it's not about getting empty, getting full, getting empty, getting full, but that we come into the house of the Lord full already. Hallelujah. And when you come in full, then we are able to pour out of our vessel and pour out in this house. How many know there are diversities of gifts in this house? There are healings. There are miracles in this house. There are words of knowledge. There's prophetic utterances. There's, you know, all the giftings that are in the house. But if we wait till we get here to get in tune with God, how many know it takes us to the end of the service before we feel like we're pumped up and ready to roll? But man, if we ever come in full, if we ever just come in pumped up, primed up, ready to go, hallelujah. You know, when the woman with the alabaster box came into the house, she came prepared. She came prepared. She said, you know what? I don't know what all is going to happen in that house today, but I know I'm going full. I'm going full with an alabaster box, and it's my intention before I leave that place that I'm going to touch Jesus, and when I touch Jesus, I'm going to break something loose inside of me. I'm going to break open that alabaster box, and when I break it open, I'm going to pour it on his feet, and when I pour it on his feet, the fragrance is going to so fill the room that somebody is going to know they've been in the presence of Jesus today. Hallelujah. I believe church needs to be about coming and pouring out and opening up and breaking loose and allowing the fragrance inside of each and every one of us to just pour forth. And when it does, I mean, the scripture says she washed his feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. And she broke open that alabaster box. And they said most of the time that the alabaster box was reserved for the death of somebody, that when you were buried, they would take that alabaster box that you had worked all your life for, and they would anoint your body in your burial. Hallelujah. But how many know what she did when she broke it open? She said, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and identify with his death, because his death is my death. And when I identify with his death, I don't have to worry about my death. I'm just going to go ahead and pour everything. I'm going to go ahead and bust loose. I'm going to cut loose. I'm going to pour out. I'm going to do something crazy today. Hallelujah. When's the last time you just come to church to do something crazy? A little crazy praise. I mean, sometimes you just got to have a little praise break. Not a little praise break. Just go ahead and break out. Hallelujah. Break loose. Break dance. Break on. I don't care. Do what you got to do. Hallelujah. But I'm thankful that, you know, it's not just, you know, the kids' drama. It's not just about a church pew. How many know we're all on this journey called life? And it takes many turns and twists and many bends in the road. But one thing I've learned, it's not a sprint. It's not a 50-yard dash. It's a journey. Yeah. And boy, you better enjoy the journey. But another thing I've figured out, I'm not a weary pilgrim passing through. Right. You know, we've been saying we were just weary pilgrims passing through. Because we're all just waiting for the sweet by and by, and one day it's all going to be over. But how many know it's not just about what's beyond the grave, but it's about the life that we can live right here and right now. The song says, it wouldn't take nothing for my journey now, right here and right now. Hallelujah. And so we're on a journey, and how many know in that journey there are many bends and twists and turns and places that we go and we see, but how many know God's in the midst of all of it? Hallelujah. When I just observed the splendor of our country and driving across our country, the splendor of it all, the beauty of God's hand, the phenomenal things that are there for us to experience that I had heard about with the hearing of mine ears, but now my eyes have seen them. How many know it's one thing to hear about something, but it's another thing to see it, to grab it, to own it, to experience it? How many know that's how it is with Jesus? It's how it is with our relationship with the Lord. It's one thing to hear about him. It's one thing to know of him, but it's another thing to say, my eyes have seen his salvation. I have experienced him. I have felt his touch. I have felt his hand. I have seen him work. Hallelujah. And I wouldn't take nothing for that journey. Hallelujah. Amen. I want to just stop for a moment and say thank you to all the men in the house today. Thank you for being here. Thank you for being in this house at this time, in this place. We are thankful for you, for men of God. Amen? We need you. We need you. We honor you today on this Father's Day, from whatever angle that you approach this. I mean, know some come into it grieving. Some go into it celebrating. Some go into it with regrets. How many know I'm thankful today most of all for my Heavenly Father, who loves me, who is always with me, who's never forsaken me. Hallelujah. I'm thankful for my earthly father today. We can't really go into camp without thinking of Pap. Hallelujah. And his vision and his heart and his love for these kids. Amen. And so one of the things he would always tell us when it was about time to start camp, he'd say, what's a soul worth? What's a soul worth? Amen. And so there's no price that we can put, no value we can put on a soul. But I'm thankful for the legacy of the life that I have lived because someone dared to dream a dream. Yes. Someone dared to have vision. Somebody dared to do something crazy. I tell our team, only crazy people would do this. Only people that are crazy for Jesus. Amen. And so we have an awesome team. I'm thankful for those who dream the dream, for Jim and Lynn and Eric and Dad and them who dreamed it on a trip. And the dream has become a reality 35 years later. One of the things the Lord said to me this week, one of the things that he said to me in my journey was, your dream is not big enough. Your dream is not big enough. And I don't think he just said it to me. I'll say it to you also. Your dream is not big enough. As I stood there and watched where they had carved Mount Rushmore, and then where the guy had taken the vision, and now they're carving Crazy Horse. And the phenomena, the story behind all of that, where they had the vision and the dream, like who thinks you can do that stuff? Like, I sometimes get up and say, who thinks that you can carve a face on the side of the mountain? And where one used dynamite to do it, and another used a chisel. I mean, we're all working together in this thing. But that vision and that dream has become a legacy because now those who began that, their children are now building on that same vision and that same dream. And those who started out with jackhammers, now the next generation has bulldozers. I mean, are thankful for bulldozers. Our generation started out in tents and porta pots. How many are thankful for inside plumbing and air conditioning? Amen. How many know God provides the tools that you need for the job? But you know what more important than the tools, what more important than the finances, what's more important than any of that is a vision and a dreamer and somebody who's willing to put their hand to the plow and says, I think we can. I think we can. I think we can do this. And so we watch that vision unfold. And it's phenomenal to me to watch the dream of somebody that said, I think I could make that mountain right there look like Crazy Horse. And I'll probably never see the completion of that. I hope my grandbabies one day can say, my grandmama saw that, but I got to see the completion of that. And the Lord said to me standing there, your dream is not big enough. And so I challenge you today, your dream is not big enough. There are those sitting under the sound of my voice today that have dreams and visions and hopes and thoughts and wishes, thinking, I wish I can, I wish I could. I want to tell you, your dream is not big enough. You go ahead and dream your dream. You go ahead and think higher than where you are today, because there's more power in you. You are a force to be reckoned with. There is vision and purpose and calling on your life. Don't you ever settle for where you are. Somebody's got to get up one day and dream it before we can see it in reality. You know, the scripture says one will dream the dreams and one will have the visions. How many know we need both? Hallelujah. The old men dream dreams, young men see visions. How many know we need the dreams of the old and the vision of the young? And we need to be able to pull that together to do the purpose of God in the earth for this time and for this season. I'm only a part of what God wants to do in this house and in this time and this season. But we've got to start thinking higher. We've got to start dreaming bigger. We've got to start believing in ourselves and believing in the God inside of us. Hallelujah. I mean, no, it's not about the strength that I have. It's not even about my vision. It's not even about my purpose. But it's being brave in what God has called you to do and stepping out of a safety zone. I mean, one of the biggest hindrances in our Christian life is becoming comfortable where we are. This is working. This is good. Let's just stay here. Do you know that's what the children of Israel did over and over and over again? They set up camp and they meant to stay in that place, and God never meant for them to stay in that place. He meant for them to move on over into the promised land. But if you get comfortable where you are, you delay the journey and you delay the purpose of God in your life. Hallelujah. I mean, when they were in the land of Egypt, they stayed there way too long. He never told them Egypt was their home. It was a place of provision for a temporary time, but it was not a place to set up camp and stay there. Hallelujah. Because what happens, your mind starts thinking like a slave instead of like the son of promise that he called you to be. Hallelujah. And so we've got to have a mindset that says, wherever we are in our journey, there's greater and bigger and better things in store for us. Amen. Do you believe that this morning? Hallelujah. Are you challenged in your heart for all that what God wants you to do? I know I say this a lot, but probably one of the most phenomenal stories to me is the story of Orville and Wilbur Wright. Amen. Like somebody dared to think that I believe I can fly. I believe I can touch the sky. I think about it every night and day. Spread my wings and fly away. Come on, somebody sing with me. I believe I can soar. I mean, the first step is to believe it. And you know what happened? The first time they flew, it didn't work out very well. It didn't go like they planned. Somebody said bravery is getting up one more time than you fall down. Bravery is not quitting. Bravery is adjusting your sails. Bravery is adjusting your calculations so that when we flew the first time and it only went a small space, we got to make some adjustments to what we did and try this again. And as we make adjustments each step of the way, that we're able to get on a jet plane and be anywhere in this world that we want to be, because somebody dared to believe and somebody decided not to take no for an answer. I mean, oh, it's brave to step up and say you think you can fly an airplane. Because there's always dream crushers. There's always somebody that says, what were you thinking? Or what were you not thinking? Who told you you could fly? Who told you? Birds fly, bees fly, people don't fly. Oh, yes, they do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I get on a boat, one of them great big ships, and it stays afloat. And I think, who thought this stuff up? I throw a rock in the water, it sinks. But they can put a boat that's the size of a city on the water, and it works. Because somebody dared to think bigger than where they were. Amen? Hallelujah. We've got to be brave in what God has called us to do in your calling. Hallelujah. How many know being brave also means risking failure? more than once. Being brave means you got to risk failure. You got to risk saying, well, that didn't work. That didn't work. Let's not try that way again. I mean, you got to risk failure to be brave. And to say, all right, I messed it up. Let's try this again. Hallelujah. But, you know, I'm thankful for the vision that God is putting in each and one of our hearts, the stirring of our hearts. And that's what I encourage you this morning. Allow your heart to be stirred. You know, one of the things that there's always a shift, I think, in what God is doing. And when God shifts things and you start to see them go a different direction, it's unnerving. Makes you nervous. Maybe it only makes preachers nervous. I don't know. But sometimes it makes you nervous because, you kind of get yourself in that comfortable little box and you think, okay, this is working. And then God wants to go a different direction and he starts to jump outside the box and you're thinking, wow, I don't like that. You know, God and I, we have those talks every now and then. I don't really like that. And I'm not saying that disrespectful, but how many of sometimes when God begins to stretch us and he begins to stretch our thinking and he begins to, lengthen our tent cords, there is a stretching that takes place that's not always comfortable, but it's always necessary. There has to be change for growth to take place. And so if we ever want to grow, we have to change. Amen. Growth is a part, change is a part of growth. I don't look like I did when I was 5. I mean, because there's been some growth in me. Now that I'm only 35, you know, I have changed. I have changed a little bit. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. But with growth, there has to come change. Amen. And change and growth come together. And so the Lord stretches us and takes us outside of our comfort zone, because outside of that, we begin to hear God in a different way. Does that make sense to you? That sometimes we begin to hear God differently and see God differently. So I'm just thankful for his presence this morning. I'm going to start out with our scripture that we're using for camp. So if you want to go to 1 Corinthians 16, 13 through 18. It says, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. Another translation says, be a man. Man up, as it were. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, be a man, be strong. Let all your things be done with charity, with love. I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that is the first fruits of Achaia, that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. I love that. Addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. That ye submit yourselves unto such and to everyone that helpeth with us and that laboreth. Hallelujah. Go on to 17. And I'm glad of the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaeus, for that which was lacking on your part, they have supplied. For they have refreshed my spirit and yours, therefore acknowledge ye them that are such. Aren't you thankful for the refreshing of the spirit of the Lord? That's what our coming together does, is refreshes our spirit. Hallelujah. And as we join together and flow together and minister together, as God has put us in this house where every joint supplies. Amen. Hallelujah. And so I love the scripture. Actually, I was looking at this scripture when I was thinking about what to say today, because it's, you know, kind of a sermon a day for the men, a celebration of the men. And so I'm looking at this scripture, and then I go look at my camp notes and realize it's the same scripture. So I'm like, hey, that'll work. That's pretty awesome. You know, I love how God just connects the dots. That's good, you know. So that was pretty awesome. So, but you know what? There is a demand or a need for men to stand up and be men, is today. Amen. Hallelujah. And there's a scripture that talks about wake up the mighty men. Wake up the mighty men. I'm thankful for the mighty men of God that are sitting here today under the sound of my voice. You chose to be here today. You could have chosen to be anywhere else, but you're here. And I honor you for that. I appreciate that. And I thank you for that. And you know, we think about mighty man. What do you think about when you think about a mighty man? Muscles. Anybody, what else? Ron's showing me his arm back there. Everybody look at Ron. He's got a medal on. He won a medal at the Special Olympics, so give Ron a hand. There's a mighty man of God right there. He's a Special Olympic athlete right there in the house this morning, so we're thankful of that man of God right back there. So Ron's showing me his muscles. You know, you think mighty man, you're thinking about muscle, right? Yeah. Arm and Hammer. You think about the Arm and Hammer guy. What else do you think about when you think about strongman competitions, pulling the trucks? Men and leadership, positions of leadership. Okay, mighty men. How many know God didn't always call the strongest or the mightiest or the bravest? When he began to use men and women of God in the scriptures, he mostly called the unlikely. I mean, no, David didn't fit the part for a muscle man. They didn't even call him in. He said, what do you mean? He's young. He's ruddy. He's just a little redhead boy. You want to see David yet today? I mean, no, those weren't the ones who fit the picture. But aren't you glad that God does not look on the outward appearance, but he looks on the heart? Hallelujah. If you want to find a man to be a leader, find somebody who has a shepherd's heart, somebody who cares about and serves well where he's at until God brings promotion. I'm glad that promotion comes from the Lord, or we surely would miss it all the time, because what we end up doing is anointing all the Sauls when God never set Saul in. He only set a David into place, because God sees on the inward man. He sees on the heart. Hallelujah. And so when he called a mighty man, it didn't always look like the bravest, the strongest. How many know Samson's the only one in the Bible really that I know of that really are just described as being a great big strong man? Some of the men in David's camp later on are mighty men and strong men. How many know when he comes to show up and he looks for Gideon, he says, "Hail thou mighty man of valor, the Lord is with you." And David says, who are you talking to? Mighty man of valor, I'm here by myself. I mean, Gideon didn't see that in himself. He didn't see it. He said, "Hail thou, mighty man of valor, the Lord is with you." You know what Gideon's response was? If the Lord's with us, then where be all his miracles? That's his response. You ever had that response? I have. You know what the answer to the question is, though? They're in you, Gideon. They're in you. "Hail thou mighty man of valor, the Lord is with you. Where be all of his miracles?" They're locked up in you. You just don't know it yet. Hallelujah. How many know God promotes Gideon out of a tribe that was the least? He said, "I'm the least in my father's house. I'm the least likely candidate to be sent out to do this mission you want me to do." And then he reduces him down to 300 men and sends him in. And Gideon's like, "Really? You know, we had this whole big army. It's behind me." One of the first things he does, he said, "Every one of you that's fearful, go home. When 2/3 of your company go home, that's not a morale booster. That doesn't really build your faith. All of you who are fearful, go home." But you know what happens? When the fearful left, the brave stand up. Because if you keep them amongst, you keep the fearful and the brave together, guess what? Fear is contagious. Fear is contagious. But so is bravery. So is bravery. And so he sends the fearful home. And God reduces him down to 300 men and says, "Now watch and see what I'm about to do." In an unlikely situation, with an unlikely leader, in an unlikely time and season, I'm about to bring the deliverance that I promised. Hallelujah. Through Gideon. Billy Graham said, "Courage is contagious. When a brave man takes a stand, the spines of others are often stiffened." I like that. Courage is contagious. When a brave man takes a stand, the spines of others are often stiffened. Excuse me. Be brave, take risk. Nothing can substitute experience. I learned that courage was not the absence of fear, but the triumph over it. The brave man is not he who does not feel afraid, but he who conquers that fear. Anybody in here never been fearful? We're not really born with fear. There are over 2,000 learned fears. I think the only fear that we're born with is the fear of falling. A baby will catch itself. It feels like it starts to fall. We learn the other fears. Amen? And so the words of our mouth, the confession that we can have, either can make us courageous or fearful in a situation. Amen? You can have it all together, and then somebody starts talking fear, and before you know it, you think, oh, I didn't think of that. I didn't think about the what could happen or should have happened or maybe could happen. And so anyway, you know, in the scripture with Gideon, he says, all the fearful go home. And those who stayed stood up. And God begins to speak to Gideon. He said, Gideon, it's not even by your hand that I'm going to accomplish this. I just want you to be the willing vessel. And see, one of the biggest lessons I think we've got to learn in serving God is it's not my effort that gets it done. It's not my strength. It's not my wisdom. It's not anything that I can do, because when I learn to trust myself, that's when I'll burn myself out, and then that's when I'm going to fall or feel like a failure. But when I just say, Lord, this is yours. You got this. You got this covered. You are the source of my strength. You are the source of my courage. You are the source of my bravery. I operate not out of my own selfishness, not out of my own strength, but I operate out of the power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. How many know we are children of the King? We have been anointed and appointed, and we need to start walking in that and out of that. How many know our life should not be one of highs and lows? I mean, there are times when things hit us and we experience them, but how many know our relationship with the Lord should be steady, and even in the midst of struggles or trials or chaos in our life, I still know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hallelujah. My trust is in you, Lord. My hope is in you, Lord. My ability is in you, Lord. Hallelujah. To do what you've called me to do. Hallelujah. In the scripture, it says, wake up the mighty man. I ask you what a mighty man looks like, and we all say, big, strong muscles, right? Pulling the monster truck or, you know, all that kind of stuff. But to me, a mighty man is not, that's not what I think about a mighty man. A mighty man is one who's faithful, who's a provider, who's caring, who has integrity, who sets an example, who's a nurturer and a trainer to do to the next generation. To me, that's a mighty man. Amen? You can have strength all you want, but if you don't have integrity and character and vision and purpose and train the next generation to come, hallelujah. We look at it as in strength and muscle, but how many know it's more a strength of character to me? Mighty is a issue of character. He said, wake up the mighty men. Hallelujah. Stand up and be one of integrity and character and courage and vision. How many know there were fathers all through the scriptures who trained the next generation to do greater things than they had done? I'm not satisfied for the next generations to come along and do the same ministry that I do. I want their ministry to be greater, bigger, more powerful than anything I've ever experienced. Amen. I want to train the next generation. God has been speaking to us in our Wednesday night Bible studies on discipleship. And we sometimes get confused in things. To be a convert or believer is to be a disciple. How many know that's not the way it is? A disciple is one who follows in the conversion and in the belief and then is trained to do what they need to do and then trains the next generation to do what they need to do. Amen? How many know we can only be successful if we have successors to follow in the mandate that God has put on our lives? I'm thankful for a godly father that instilled in me a legacy and a love for God and my parents, amen, who paved the way for us to be where we are here today. But I mean, I want that legacy to continue on, Hallelujah. And what we need to do. One of the things I was laughing about being brave, and this may seem silly, but when Jay asked us to go out west, I said, I just don't know that there's any way I can do that the week before camp. That took bravery. I'm like, oh man, I don't know if we can do this. But you know what it made me do was trust the team that I had trained. And I never once questioned the team. I questioned if I had trained the team to do what they needed to do. Or me. That was back on me, not on them. How many know they are phenomenal? And they stepped up and did everything that they needed to do. And it's been a diverse group. And everybody has taken, and it's diversified a lot of jobs. Hallelujah. And they have stepped up to the plate and done what God has called them to do. See, I don't necessarily think we question people. We question our ability to instill them in what they need and then trust that deposit to do what it needs to do. Hallelujah. Pastor Jack and I were talking last night. How many of you, sometimes you got to trust people and then let them fail if they need to fail. And then be there to pick them up and encourage them and get them back on the right track again. Not everybody's going to do it right the first time. And not everybody's going to do it the way you do it. And that's okay. See, sometimes we think you got to do it like we do it or like they did it or whatever. But how many know it's just training those who can step up and say, I got this and I can do this. Hallelujah. And God puts that mandate on all of us. To be able to trust what he's imparted to us to do the job that's ahead of us. And so I'm just so thankful for the phenomenal team that we do have here that has just been crazy awesome this week. And so I appreciate that. Joshua 1:7-9 is the scripture where Moses, God speaks to Joshua and says, Moses, my servant, is dead. How many know Moses was a father to Joshua in many, many ways? He trained Joshua. He taught Joshua. He mentored Joshua. When Jesus ministered and when he had disciples, he modeled to them what he wanted them to do. He showed them what he needed to do. And then he would say to them, and we talked about this before, when he gets ready to feed the 5,000, he said, then you feed them. They said, what do you mean feed them? We've been waiting on you. We've been watching you. You feed them. We're just here for backup. We're just here for backup. Sometimes we think, you know, when God speaks to us, oh, I'm just here for backup. No, if God spoke it to you, then you feed them. What's God saying to you? And he began to say to the disciples, feed the multitude. They said, we don't have any money. Well, and somebody starts thinking outside the box. Somebody says, there's a lad here with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. That's a start, but I have no idea where we're going to go from there. He said, just give me what you have, and let's just start somewhere. I mean, it's one of the greatest things you can do is just start somewhere. Yeah. Just jump in and start and let God develop it and God do what he needs to do. But Moses trained Joshua. And so when it comes time for Joshua to step in that position, he didn't go in ill-equipped. He had been trained by Moses, the leader of God. And then God begins to speak to Joshua and says, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. He trained you. He taught you. Turn not from it to the right or the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of my mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. Hallelujah. Go to 1 Chronicles 28 and 20. All along the way, there were teachers who trained, and those who trained taught the next group to do what they needed to do, to impart and to, how many know that's the heart of a father? It's not to, what you see a lot of times is, if you're not careful, jealousy keeps you from releasing the gifting of God in people. How many know we want, your desire should be to see a greater manifestation of the presence of the Lord. We're not in competition with each other. We are streams that flow together where every joint supplies. David says to Solomon, his son, be strong and of good courage, and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee, until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. I mean, God speaks to Solomon, his son. David didn't get to build the temple, but Solomon did. But David began to speak into the heart of his son and said, there's some things I can instill and there's some things I can tell you that's going to help you in the next journey of your life. Hallelujah. I mean, it's easier sometimes, as parents, fathers, mothers, whoever it is. I say this all the time. And one of the things that I fail in sometimes is I do it myself, sometimes either to spare them the stress of it or just because it's easier to do it myself. Amen? But what we learn and what we forget is they will never learn to do it if you don't make them do it. I mean, it takes time to stop and say, this is how you start the lawnmower. This is how you check the oil. This is how you put the gas in it. Amen. This is how you make the bread. This is how you cook the soup. This is how you separate the whites from the darks. Yeah. And so, hallelujah. This is how you balance a checkbook. This is how you be responsible with a debit card or a credit card. This is how you do what you need to do. This is how you use a hammer and a nail. This is how you lay block. This is how you sew a seam. This is how you put a button on the shirt. Yeah, you can put buttons on the shirt. Yeah. One time Dan told me he had a hole in his sock. I said, well, honey, would you like me to darn that sock? And he said, well, yeah, that'd be great. I said, you darn sock, you. And then we just bought new socks. It was like a miracle. It was a revelation from God. You know, like, darn you sock. And that was the end of that. Hallelujah. And then the Lord sent a seamstress in the house, and we've just been doing a praise break ever since. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, Sister Joy, she keeps my tailoring done. And hallelujah, thank you, Lord. But how many know we must teach and train and tutor? It's as much a mandate to do that as it is to do what God has called us to do. Amen? Hallelujah. I'm so thankful for those who have served with us through the years. When I look back at the pictures, here I go again. When I look back at the pictures and see the faces who have been here from the beginning, and you're still here, and you still carry the vision, you're still sewing in, and you never lost the heart for it. Thank you for that. Thank you. Thank you for that. Hallelujah. Because that means it must do something right. And you're still here. And you're still imparting. And you're still training. We did something crazy this year. And I'm closing. We did something crazy this year. We decided we are going to put some extra help in the day camp and the kitchen. And we're going to call it Children's Ministry and Culinary. How amazing is that, right? And we'll just put these kids to work when they get here. Do you know one of the biggest sessions we had signed up for was culinary? We didn't call it kitchen help. We got a revelation. We called it culinary. Now, you may find that funny, but I know that there is just as much ministry that goes on down there in that kitchen with that staff and that group of people, that if I was going to sign up for it, I'd be in culinary. Because they're not going to work with any finer group of people for ministry. They truly have a heart for that. Day camp. Kids. Maintenance. We thought about it. We had it on the list. maintenance, plumbing. Next year, plumbing is a session for camp. We're going to do it. We're going to do it. There will be daily opportunities to serve in plumbing. Hallelujah. I mean, you got to learn those things. There are youth coming in that have a heart for kids, and they want to work with kids. And so they're going to observe our phenomenal day camp crew and see what it is to do children's ministry. And they're going to be blessed by that. They're going to observe our team who works so relentlessly down here in the kitchen. And they're going to get culinary, but more than culinary, they're going to get the ministry of the hearts of those people down there. Hallelujah. We're going to train the next generation to do what they need to do. And they're going to be more powerful than we know. Amen. Our future is in their hands. And here's what I'm going to leave you with. Change your life, change your world. And you have that opportunity this week. You may be listening to me this morning and say, I can't be there. I got things going on. That's not my cup of tea, whatever it is. There are so many ways for you to minister this week. If you can't serve, donate. It takes finances. You cannot imagine the budget that it takes to put this on, because we don't ask a price for them to come. We just ask for a donation. Groceries probably will run that. Usually run us about anywhere from $6,000 to $8,000 just to feed them for the week. That has nothing to do with T-shirts. We don't charge for the T-shirts. We give those. And we just do it off the donations that come in. If you can't serve, give, donate, pop in, do whatever. Pray for us. Yes. Pray earnestly for us. Yes. Fast and pray for us. Yes. Hallelujah. But it's all good. Amen. There are so many ways you can be a part of it and serve and be a part of what God wants to do. But more than just this week, let's just stand up and be men and women of God, and be who, you can go ahead and stand, and be who, thank you guys for listening, John and Ron, they are on it this morning. Stand up and be the men and women of God that he has called us to be. Amen? Men, fathers, dads, your family needs you. They need you to be a man of integrity, a man of honor, a man who will teach, who will tutor, who will love, who will correct, but also will embrace. Amen? Moms, we need you to be godly moms, to set the example, to be who God has called you to be. Men and women in this house, see, I'm a firm believer that whether you're a mother or a father, you still mentor and train people around you. Hallelujah. You are an example to those in the house, those you teach, those who you nurture, whatever department of life you're in, let's be what God called us to be. Let's stand up and be honorable. Let's stand up and have integrity and strength and say, you know what? I'm going to be who God called me to be in my house. My first calling is to my house. My calling is to God. But I'll only be as faithful in my house as I allow God to make me who he wants me to be as a wife, as a mom, as a grandmother, as a pastor, a leader, a father, a dad, an uncle, a teacher, a youth leader, a counselor, a kitchen help, a day camp. But let's be who God called us to be. Amen. Can we rise to that? Don't be afraid. Be brave. Hallelujah. Be brave in what God has called you to do and what he's called you to be. Amen.
And everything, I have a tag that says, an arrow can only be shot by pulling it backwards. So when life is dragging you back with difficulties, it means that it's going to launch you into something great.
I believe it. Get ready to launch. Get ready to launch. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just lift our hands one more time and let's just bless the Lord as we're waiting the children to come in. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus and you'd like to meet him, hallelujah, he'd like to meet you. Hallelujah, we'd love to pray with you. It's as simple as saying, Lord, I want to embrace all that you have for me in my life. I don't know where that journey might take me, but I'm ready for the journey. I'm ready to take that step. We'd love to pray with you if you want to come down. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Just raise your hand and say, Lord, I want to dream bigger. I want to be all that you purposed me to be. I want to be all that you have purposed me to be, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.